best love is love.
Hi, Deani. Oh my God, you are never going to believe what my wife said to me the other day. I cannot
wait. Jamie, save it for the Patreon.
What? Oh, right. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Listen, everyone at home, if you want to hear what my wife said, plus a lot of other things that I have been dying to get off my chest, and there are some things, y'all, there really are, you need to come join us on our Patreon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's me and my good friend Deani here, the amazing millennial who is young and sprightly, spilling all the tea in our queer little lives and exclusive contents that you literally cannot find anywhere else, literally nowhere else in the world.
The link is in the bio. Come be part of the queer family.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
This episode and the entire season of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM26 for a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Our surrogate, I think because she's deaf, she has this, like, she's very intuitive, right? And very
in tune with her body,
almost like a sixth sense. And she was like teasing us before because her levels were really high. And she was like, I think you guys are pregnant with triplets. And we're like, haha, no, we're not. Like, you're cute, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not for us. That's for you.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show, as you know, that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our fabulous identity. And if you're tuning in during June, you need to know this is the third or fourth annual Pride Extravaganza. What is that, you ask? What is it? Well, it means that all through the month of June, Pride Month, I release double the episodes. So you don't only get an episode on Monday, you also get one on Thursday, just so we can spread all the queer family goodness possible during Pride. So I hope you're enjoying these episodes. This one today is a really special, I really loved this conversation. I sat down with Jake and Sean. They are daddies to three on social media. They have an account that where they document their lives together and their kiddos. And it's just, they're being the representation that we all need to see. So if you don't follow them, you should go follow them and check them out. And they have this beautiful story. They're ex-Mormon. They both fell in love and left the church and came out. Like, we're covering so many bases here. It's beautiful. And now they are dads to three triplets through surrogacy. You're going to hear the whole journey. It's just lovely. I just finished speaking with them and I am left with such a warm feeling in my heart. So I hope you are left with that by the end of this as well. I don't want to drag this intro on too long because I want to get right into their story. So hope you're enjoying these episodes. I'm going to roll the tape by Helen and Beulah. Ladies, can you come over here and roll this tape? Okay, Helen, Beulah. I forgot. I have to say it sweetly or they won't come. Here they come. I don't have assistance. I'm talking to the air. We know this. But they are consistent characters on this show and I will keep it going. All right, Helen and Beulah, they're ready. They want to get back to their whiskey on the couch. So rolling the tape. Here we go. Let's do it.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hey, Jake and Sean.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on the show. I'm really, really excited to dive deep into your full story. I stalk you on the Instagram as you do, so I know a little bit about it, but we're going to dive deeper.
Oh, we're excited. Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
we're happy to be
here.
Without further ado, we're just going to dive into what I warned you about, the 30-second elevator pitch. Okay, are you ready?
Ready.
Get set, go.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Sean.
And we are gay dads to triplets. We both grew up in conservative Utah, very Mormon. We're actually each other's very first boyfriends. We were going to help each other find understanding wives and fell in love instead. We had our kids through surrogacy. We were trying for at least one and ended up surprisingly having three. And it's been a wild ride ever since.
Boom. That was beautifully done. 30 seconds, like pros, because you're content creators. You don't mess around.
Clearly, he's the creator.
Hold on. Let's rewind. You were trying to find each other nice Mormon wives. Can we start there, please? Because I feel like, and I'll tell you what, I love hearing stories of conservative upbringings and breaking free and Mormon. I want to know the stuff. Tell us the stuff.
So Jake and I, like he said, we both grew up in the LDS church, known as Mormon. And that's kind of all we knew growing up. Very big churchgoers, went every Sunday. Jake actually went on a mission. I'll let him tell that story. But yeah, when we first met, we were still closeted, and it was just so early on and so new to us that when we first met, we were like, okay, we met on Grindr of all places.
Oh, wait, Grindr trying to hook up with guys, or Grindr? Wait, is Grindr only for guys?
There was nothing available. And so really, at least my part of the story, I had come home from my mission. I was still gay. The girl that I had dated before, we tried to make it work. It didn't, obviously, because I'm gay. And my whole world just kind of fell apart. I fell into like a deep depression. But through the lens of Mormonism, there's so much pressure on appearances, right? And like really showing that you're perfect and you're suffering in silence. So I was leading this double life where, you know, I was going to church and I was this perfect LDS member. And then under an alias, I was hooking up with guys and experimenting, and then I would feel terrible about myself. So I had gone through the repentance process. And in Mormonism, that's not just between you and God. You have to have a leader that you're going through. So I went and repented to a bishop, and it was a grievous enough sin to have a council called, and they call it a disciplinary council.
Oh my God.
Where basically you'll go and relive this experience, and they'll ask you lots of questions that are pretty invasive to see if you are repentant enough to stay in the church or to receive some kind of a discipline within church structure. So I had passed that because I was repentant. I did want to, you know, follow Christ. And I wanted to
pray the gay away, pray it away.
Yeah, I felt terrible about having acted on these gay feelings. So when I was chatting with Sean, it was because I had not come out to anybody. I went through all of this without coming out to my parents. I was like, I could get kicked out of the church. That's my entire family heritage and upbringing and life. And I'm going to have to come out to them at the same time if that happens.
Oh, my God.
So it was terrifying.
And you went through all of that with the repentance and your family knew nothing. Like, you were just like completely like solo, alone going through that. That is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. The only people that I had come out to were church leadership. Even the guys that I had hooked up with, I was under a different name. Like, they didn't know who I was. So. When I was talking with Sean, it was really just to, again, have your story mirrored back to you, have somebody that you can relate to. And we talked for a couple months on there because we were afraid of each other's intentions and weren't using the app to hook up. And we finally met up at a Jamba Juice to get some smoothies. We're like, that's very neutral. And we just talked for like 3 hours and just related. And by the end of it, we thought we were going to be best friends. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we really thought that we were going to help each other through this experience, be there to lean on each other, but eventually find a wife that was understanding enough that we could be bisexual enough to make it work with a woman.
Ah, does that happen?
At all bisexual. Yeah.
You're not at all bisexual.
No.
But does that happen a lot in like Mormon households? Are there understandings between some couples that I'm going to be bi? And
it's called a lavender marriage.
Yeah. And I think it's happening more because I think that it's becoming less stigmatized to be same sex attracted, is how you would put it, because calling yourself gay is taking on an identity. Whereas same-sex attracted is just saying that that's something you struggle with.
And what straight woman doesn't want to marry a gay man, you know? Like,
I mean, come on now.
Right?
Well, so, she's probably gay herself. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We know some of those too.
Well, how long did you each know you were gay? Did you know your whole life, or was it like a case of it just wasn't around me? I didn't see it. Like,
no, I feel like both of us knew from a really young age. Like, you know, in the church, there are certain milestones, right? And they kind of have your whole life mapped out for you. At this age, you do this. At this age, you do that. So at 8, you get baptized in the Mormon church. And I remember, like, I think we both relate on this, that we both felt like guilty getting baptized because we had both had, you know, feelings of same-sex attraction. And we were like, knew that that was a no-no in the church. And so
and you're 8. It's not even sexual at that age. It's no. just like, I oh, you
thought
feel,
this boy
you
was
feel
cute.
Different, or you had a little crush on a boy, mm-hmm. or you relate mm-hmm. more to girls. You're not good at sports, just little things that are tipping you off to maybe I'm different. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, I felt like, oh, maybe that baptism is going to help change me. So I knew it, yeah. that that's kind of where I pinpoint that I knew I was gay, because I remember having those feelings of like, okay, this could be what changes.
It wipes away your sins, you know?
Yeah. And then it didn't. Yeah. You can't pray the gay away. Trying not to be gay. You meet each other. I have one more question about like just growing up in the church and knowing you were different, knowing you were probably gay, same sex attraction. Was there conversation in your houses like about gayness at all? Or was that just something you didn't even talk about? It's just something that you knew the church was not cool with.
I think from my experience in my household, like we just didn't really talk about it. My dad had a brother who was gay and he died from AIDS. Oh. And it wasn't until like later on when I like came out that I really got to like hear that story and understand, because, you know, he had passed away when I was like 2 years old. So I don't remember him, but I do know that like my parents were very loving and accepting of him. I think it's just different when it's like your own child, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I think it took a lot more time for them to wrap their minds around that, because mm-hmm. they had felt like maybe they had done something wrong, or I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll probably get into this later about parents and support and them coming around. Our parents are really good people. And I think that some of that, and this probably happens a lot in households where parents are afraid of what their child is going to experience.
Yeah.
And so they're forcing their mindset and their experience, they're projecting that on what could happen to their mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. So I think from our parents' point of view, they were trying to not necessarily protect us from being gay because they hated that, but right. they were so scared of what that would mean for our lives, for our salvation, for the community mm-hmm. that would come after us. So it was a big learning curve for them. My older sister is lesbian and she's a big part of my journey because she was my best friend growing up. She's 5 years older than me. And so I feel like her coming out really paved the way for me to have an easier experience with my parents
yeah.
because they didn't handle that very well with oh. her. She came out in high school, and I think it's almost a little bit harder for women too, because there's this emotional aspect. You just haven't found the right guy,
or yep. you're, mm-hmm. just
afraid, you're just afraid of men, or you just got to keep trying. Whereas mm-hmm. if a guy comes out as gay, they're like, you wouldn't make that up. You're gay.
Right. No. Yeah. My family thought it was a phase, like, oh, you'll meet a guy. That's same. And because I didn't look, I'm doing this in quotations, I didn't look or act gay. Like I'm supposed to start driving a Harley and like wearing leather jackets or something. And I don't know, you know, like, we come all different ways. All right. So you meet, you become best friends. You're gonna find yourselves the perfect wives to live your bi lives. And then what happened?
And then like literally 2 weeks in, we were like, okay, this isn't working. I think we're actually falling for each other. We were spending so much time together. I mean, literally every day, you know, and every waking minute we're texting or talking. and we're like, it still like gives me the chills to this day. Like just how beautiful that experience was and how meant to be it was. And, you know, obviously how far we've come since that moment, right? And everything that we've gone through since. But it did not last very long. We were 2 weeks, and I think the L word came out within a month at least. Like,
it was the summer before I went back to LA for school. And so we only had like a month together, and we knew that we were in love within that month. So I moved back to California, and we did a year of long distance and kind of worked through that until we could come out together.
Wow. I love that. I love that story. And it's like slightly lesbian too, because
the U-Haul and everything.
Yeah, U-Hauled a little bit.
We did. Yeah, we totally did.
I love that. Okay. So, all right. Then you had to come out. So
what was crazy, Jake broke up with me for a day. And I was, because at this point we had still not come out. I mean, we were 6 months into our relationship and still had not come out to our
parents. I'll explain. Don't worry.
But he had watched some general conference, which is a Mormon. I mean, you're better at explaining Mormonism.
It's like they do a conference, which is a big council of like the 12 apostles and prophet and leadership of the church. They counsel all of the members. They do it twice a year. And I had just watched that and was just feeling so guilty. And this whole time that I was falling in love with Sean, I was feeling guilty. And I was feeling like, this is what it means to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, like it talks about in the scriptures, is to literally break my heart. And God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And he's only asking me just to, you know, not choose love in this life. And maybe I'll have an opportunity in the next.
Oh my God.
And so it really was this heartbreaking choice that I had to make, but I felt like it was my only choice. And so even though it felt so right to be with Sean, I couldn't handle that guilt. And I felt like I had to give up my own will to serve God. And I broke up with Sean, and then you can pick up from there.
Yeah. So he broke up with me for a day. I was a wreck. Like, I had been broken up with girls plenty of times, you know, and it was like, boom, done. On to the next. But Jake was like very different, you know, and I like could not keep it together. And my parents were like, what is going on with you? Like, you've been crying all day long. And I was like, well, I have to tell you that Jake wasn't just my friend. He was my boyfriend. And so I dropped the bomb on them. And my dad was really sweet. Like, I remember him telling me, like, we were sitting at the kitchen table and he was just like, I love you no matter what, and we'll figure this out. And my mom took a little bit longer to just like process, you know. I mean, she didn't have much to say at first. And now, I mean, my mom's, you know, our biggest fan, and she's so sweet. But she came down the next day and was like, you know, I want you to know that I love you no matter what, and we'll, you know, we'll get through this. And I think a lot of those beginning stages, kind of going back to what Jake was saying, was my parents were genuinely worried about like being bullied or my salvation or, you know, just things like that.
The church. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's your whole life. Like, it seems like it was your family's life. Like, it's a community that you don't know anything other than that. I can see how it would be scary for your parents and for you, especially, and everyone. Yeah. So you came out and Jake has just broken up with you. Like, what went down? It was only a day.
He wrote me this letter and, you know, essentially asked if we could still be friends. And I said no. I was like, you know, absolutely not.
Hit me while I'm down.
I don't want to be your friend. Like, I want to be your boyfriend. You know, for 24 hours, I thought it was just the end. And then
I reached back out to Sean the next day. So I send off this email, this letter to Sean. Ruins my night. I'm sad. At this point, I'm like, this is the only thing that was bringing me happiness. Fuck it. I'm going to drink for the first time.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
So then I'm like,
drinking in the Mormon church is a big, big, big no-no.
I didn't go out and drink coffee or tea. I went straight to alcohol. But it was fraternity rush at USC in Los Angeles. And so I just went. I remember going into the fridge, my roommates drank, and I just like grabbed a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't even remember what I took, but I just remember drinking everything that was in there.
Oh, God.
To sorority row, fraternity row. And then I don't remember the rest of the night. Oh, I woke up back home in my bathroom and just humbled in this like state of weakness, hungover. And just all I knew to do was to pray. And so I just started praying and trying to find guidance. And that's really when it hit me. Like, I felt like I got this really strong answer from God. Like, I was telling God, hey, I've read your scriptures. I know the rules. This is what I need to do. I need to give up Sean. Sorry for drinking. And I felt this overwhelming sense that God was saying, you know that I wrote those things, or I'm behind those things. Like, they're not more powerful than I am. And I'm telling you that you need to be happy. Like, you need to choose happiness. And it was such a Mormon answer. I don't believe in Mormonism anymore, but I feel like it's exactly what I needed. It was the language that I knew to connect to something higher than myself. And I feel like in that moment, I did connect to something higher than myself that allowed me to breathe and allowed me the freedom to finally, you know, make my own choices and lean into my own authenticity and follow my heart. And so I called Sean up and I was like, I don't know how we're going to navigate this or what's to come, but I know that you're my soulmate and I know that we're going to make it work, and let's figure this out together.
Oh, what a sweet love story, you guys. Like,
no, now I'm going to cry again over here.
It needs to be like a rom-com. Like, what the?
We're a little Hallmark movie.
Yeah, I'm like crying. So, like, so sweet, but also so like, no, you have, like, it's like Brokeback Mountain. Why can't I quit you? Like, Oh my God, it needs to be made into like a movie. I'm not even kidding. We need that. We need that representation out there.
I feel like it going through it, but like, right. Yeah, it's fun to look back on. And
yeah. So you got together and then Jake, you had to come out.
So then I came out. I came out to my parents the following spring break. And then I came back to Utah for the summer. And then we both went back to USC the following year. Sean followed me and we finished up school and came out together, navigated trying to make it within the church and pioneering that path.
Jake like pulled me back to church.
Realizing that we weren't really welcome there. And that kind of led us to doing more investigation and faith crisis, realizing that this wasn't what we believed in, and kind of leaving the church from there.
Yeah, and you did it together. It's good that you had each other to do it together and you both understood it so well. Because I can only imagine that that was really a hard journey to go through.
It was great that we could relate on that. I think it really bonded us and also brought a lot of baggage to the table.
We're a little codependent. But
we worked through those things. We've been together now 13 years. So
wow. Congrats.
14 next month.
Different lifetimes, right? You can mark the end and beginnings of different chapters in your life. And
100%. Beautiful, beautiful story. Now we got to get into the baby making journey. So when did the talk of building a family come into the conversation? Because a lot of times it comes in a lot earlier for us because we have a lot of decisions to work through together. So
I mean, I think growing up Mormon, it's very family oriented. They push, you know, big families and, you know, so I think for us, we always kind of knew we wanted a family. And that was almost like the devastating part about being gay was like, okay, well, you know, I'm coming out now. I won't be able to have a family. And so I think at the beginning, we were kind of like, is this possible? Can we make this work? And we didn't know much, like, and we didn't know a lot of people that had, you know, had successfully done it. Mm-hmm. And so we actually met this couple in San Francisco, and they were much older than us, and they had a daughter through surrogacy. And we were like, oh my God, it's possible, you know?
Yeah.
We got to become like dear friends with them, and they helped us navigate some of it. But I mean, a lot of that was pretty early on, and we were young, you know, and we knew that it was going to be an expensive journey. And so we're like, you know, the timing wasn't right then, but, you know, it kind of planted the seed.
Yeah, like, I mean, you agreed on the method you were going to use to create your family, which that's step one. And then you make other decisions as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we knew that it was going to be expensive. So we, you know, we got into real estate. I mean, I actually got my real estate license right out of high school, but, you know, I put it on hold while we lived in LA. And then when we moved back to Utah, we got back into real estate. And Jake was serving, but also, you know, acting. And he was like, you know, serving is not really the career that I want to.
Mm-hmm. I was serving a lot more than I was acting. And I'm like, it's got to change here.
I lived that life too. I was a waitress for a very long time.
Yeah. It's loose faith in humanity, I think.
it's not an easy job. It's tough, yeah.
So we were like, okay, some things have to change in order to, you know, save up this $150,000, $200,000 that we need in order to make the surrogacy journey happen. And so, you know, he jumped into real estate, and it was like our big why, you know, like our big motivator was like, okay, we're going to save so that we can have a family. And that was in 2017.
I got to stop you here because this point gets brought up in every episode, and the listeners are like, I know what she's going to say, but intentionality, like the people who say that queer people should not be parents need to listen to some of these stories, because you got your careers in order to be able to afford to have children one day. Like, talk about intentionality right there. Like, we're not just going to fall pregnant accidentally here.
Right.
We have to work so hard to get there.
Totally. Yeah. Literally every decision that you're making is for that future and the hope, right? Because it's not guaranteed.
Nope. You got your careers. You started saving in 2017. And then what happened?
And we were really fortunate. We had a great community that really supported us. We marketed ourselves together and as the realtor hubbies here in Utah. We were like probably the first gay couple in Utah that did real estate together, and marketed ourselves together. And we were so nervous, but also we were like, you know, we don't have a lot to lose.
I love it. It's actually brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant. Yeah. It really is. Because I can just see all the wives like, oh my God, call the boys. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Crazy because our CEO at the time was like, you're pigeonholing yourselves. That's not a good idea. And we were like, no, we're doing it. Like, we're the type of people you tell us we can't do something, we're going to do it, you know? And so we actually ended up leaving that company shortly after. And we just like took off. Jake did 42 transactions in his first year, which is like unheard of in real estate. Like most people do like 2 to 3 their first year. So it allowed us to kind of expedite that process quicker than we anticipated.
You made the money basically, or you were in a place, you were starting to make the money.
Stuff in chunks, right?
Yep.
We ended up meeting with the Utah Fertility Center, and they were really pivotal in kind of leading us and guiding us on what steps to take. So we started with the embryo creation, and we used an anonymous egg donor and created our embryos, and then just had those frozen for a while.
With the anonymous egg donor, did you choose the egg donor, or did they just give you, like, you got to choose your donor, right?
Yeah, we did choose, yes.
I call this the search for the superhuman, this search, because some of us get a little cuckoo when we're looking through these potential donors. What was your search like?
Totally. I mean, it's weird because you go in and you're like,
I'm back on Tinder, swiping profiles.
Yep.
Bios and all these things.
Yeah. And you're like, I shouldn't have this much power. I feel like I'm playing like.
And you really do. And you get in your head about like, oh, well, if I can combat these negative genetics that I have with this and that, it's crazy. And we brought in, I think, like 10 profiles after vetting all of those. And I feel like even though we're not religious at all anymore, we're still pretty spiritual and into like intuition and our feelings. And none of them felt right.
Like beautiful people, but we were just like, for whatever reason, it just doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lady at the fertility center was like, well, we have a few people that have been added since. do you want to at least see those before you leave today? And we were like, yeah, that sounds great. You know, I mean, we just weeded through 500. What's three more? You know, there was this lady and she was totally different than like what we had gone in with our this criteria. And it just like felt so right. And we were like, okay.
That's the one. Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Speaking of donors, I have something for you. It's a promo code at California Cryobank. You're going to use code QueerFam26 for a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. So if hearing Jake and Sean's story is inspiring you at all to start your family building journey, California Cryobank is here for you. They have been around for nearly 50 years. They offer so many amazing services that tailor to the LGBTQIA+ community. I use them to make my babies, and I really think you will like what you see when you go over to California Cryobank and see what they have. They offer a very wide array of donors, and they really do take care of you through the process. I know I had to call them. I called them a couple times, actually, when we were trying to choose our donor, and had some really lovely conversations with the people on the other end. So they really do think about you. They walk you through it. They're helpful. They offer things like second parent adoption letters if you need them. Very good for our community. They offer free vial transfer between partners if you decide to switch uteruses. There's so many awesome perks of using California Cryobank. So if donor conception is the path you think that might be the one for you, head to cryobank.com, use code QueerFam26, and check out their level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Start making those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them. All right, back to the show.
Love is love.
So you went with like just intuitive feelings. It's really interesting to hear how people go about that search. So that's good. So you found her. You made your embryos. Did you each make embryos with sperm? And you don't have to tell me anything if you don't talk, if you're not open.
We did the egg retrieval and then we split those in half and fertilized half with my sperm and half with Sean's.
We actually got 26 eggs, which was like insane.
Damn.
Yeah. So we had quite a few. We ended up with 13 viable embryos from that. Mm-hmm. And we did two surrogacy journeys. Our first journey, we had a surrogate. She was incredible, out of Idaho. And we put in two embryos hoping that either one or both would stick. And one stuck. And then we got 12 weeks and miscarried.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was real. We were at a Friendsgiving when it all went down. You know, we got the call that things were not looking good and she was bleeding. And the next day,
devastating experience just because you're not with her. She was out of state.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's so traumatizing for her. It became an ordeal because her body just wasn't up for it. And we were trying again with her and we ended up having to switch surrogates. And so just all of this effort that you've put into this person and your surrogate's so special to you.
Yeah.
And for us, we wanted to have a relationship with our surrogate and mm-hmm. have them be like an auntie figure. And she was getting really close with us and our families. And so to have to switch was really hard for us. And then you're taking so many steps backward financially as well, even though we were doing our careers and starting to come up on that.
You're like,
those were huge blows.
Yeah, because every setback is more money. Like that, like it breaks, and that's not what you're thinking about. Like, but it is. Like, obviously, it's in the back of your brain all the time. Oh my God, we're gonna run out of money. Like, what if? Right? Like, it's just so stressful.
Yeah, and it took longer because of that. You know, like I always say, like with hetero couples, it's like obviously so devastating, right? To miscarry.
Of course. Like, yes.
It's always devastating.
Yeah.
There's an added layer with a queer couple
or
trying to go through surrogacy.
Fertility. That or,
yeah. Mm-hmm. When there's money involved. Totally.
Yep.
Because you're like, cool, there went 40 grand because...
You can't just wait a month and try again. Like, try again in bed, you know? Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
There's a lot of things that have to be put in order before you get to try again, you know? So...
Yeah. I don't know. You just feel so... terrible for, because she felt like a failure, you know, in a way. And so she was dealing with those big emotions. And we're dealing with our emotions of like loss and grief, and you want to support her as well. And so you're juggling just so much.
So many emotions. Like, we all need a therapist when we're going through this. I think, yeah, I think that that should be a part of the package. Like, and here is your personal therapist to talk through any feelings you have. Like,
yes.
Okay. So you had to switch surrogates. And who did the agency, or?
They actually did connect us with our second surrogate because they had just witnessed what we had gone through. And they were like, hey, we have this other incredible woman who just did a surrogacy journey with another couple. She gave birth to twins. She actually has triplets of her own. So,
oh. Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So they were like, would you be interested in interviewing her? We're like, absolutely. Like, anyone who's willing to do this for another human is incredible, right? Mm-hmm. So we sat down with her and her husband, and it was crazy because it was during COVID.
It was COVID time, so we couldn't meet in person. And it was hard because she's deaf and her husband is deaf. So we couldn't even talk on the phone, and we had to use this service where it was almost like FaceTiming, but it was their three parties, and we would speak, and then there was an interpreter, and
yeah,
it was such a interesting way of doing things at that time.
But again, just such an energy thing, right? Like, we just felt her warmth and felt her and felt like she was the right decision, you know, again.
That's amazing.
And so we moved forward with her, and we put in two embryos, and we were hoping one or both would stick again.
Did you know whose embryos you like chose? You knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you got to tell the ultrasound story.
Yeah.
Oh, so God.
This was crazy. So our surrogate, I think because she's deaf, she has this, like, she's very intuitive, right? And very
in tune with her
almost
body.
Almost like,
yeah,
a sixth sense. And she was like teasing us before because her levels were really high. And she was like, I think you guys are pregnant with triplets. And we were like, haha, no, we're not. Like, you're cute, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not for us. That's for you. We like go in for our first ultrasound, you know, and it's pretty early on. Like, I want to say it's like 9 weeks. And so we're in with the ultrasound tech, and we know that we have a positive pregnancy, but she's scanning through and she can see two sacs. And so she's like, okay, there's a good chance you have twins, right? Mm-hmm. And she's scanning through and she's like, guys, I'm really sorry. I only found one baby.
Oh.
And we're like, no, that's great. Really happy with just even just one, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, well, you know, let me go grab another tech just to make sure. Cause like, double check my work, because it is interesting that there's two sacs. So she got this other ultrasound tech to come in, and she starts scanning through, right, and doing her thing. And she's like, no, guys, you are pregnant with twins. Like, here's baby A, here's baby B. She's printing us out the ultrasound pictures, typing twins. Like, we're
literally
so excited.
We have it on,
right,
camera, though, Sean's saying at that point. At least it's not three.
Oh, my God.
I was teasing our surrogate, right? I was like, at least it's not three. I told you, Heather, like, it's not three. And then, you know, she's doing all the things like measuring the heartbeat. We're obviously so ecstatic, and we're just chatting with our surrogate. And she says, guys, I think you're actually pregnant with three.
Oh,
and
we're
like, you just heard us joking about this. Like, you're funny. Like, nice joke. You know, I did not believe her at all. And she's like, no, I'm actually serious. I was like, well, the only way I'm going to believe you is if you get all three of them in one frame. Like, they're little jelly beans at this point. Like, how do you tell that two, like, it didn't just bounce around and, you know? And so she, sure enough, gets all three of them in one frame. I think the first thing that came out of my mouth was like, I am not driving a minivan. Like, refuse to drive a minivan. I'm like, no shame to anyone who chose that life. And it's honestly easier. Like, I'm sure your life is easier if you drive a minivan. But
doors, that's nice.
I want a minivan, but that's the lesbian in me, I think.
I'm not going to, you know?
I think it does make life easier, but I don't have one either.
I know. I'm like, I just can't roll up to a listing appointment in a Honda, you know, what are they called?
I don't even know. No minivans for us.
We have not a minivan, but...
So you're pregnant with three. And so two of them were in one sack and one was in...
Yeah, so the girl and
the girls are identical.
Yeah, they're so cute. They're adorable. All three of them are adorable. Okay, so both embryos became bebes. Yeah. So, okay. So then the pregnancy, everything, I'm hoping everything was fine. And then babies came.
Yeah. So she was like our rock during it. I think because she had already given birth to triplets, we just like trusted her so much through the process. And she was like, I got this, guys. Like,
her triplets weren't even in the NICU.
Like, they went literally carried them to 36 weeks,
which is full term for triplets.
Like, they will not let you go past 36 weeks with triplets.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And not one of them ended up in the NICU. Yeah. Like, crazy. That never, I think she's probably the only case where that has been the case.
Like, yeah. Oh my God, amazing.
Our girl shared a placenta. And so Ren was pretty growth restricted. Willow was taking all the food. And so by the end, she wasn't growing a ton.
Oh.
They felt, so we were doing like weekly, I think.
Non-stress test, yeah, or the stress tests.
Twice a week, I think we were going in for the non-stress tests. And in the end, they just figured that it would be easier if we planned a C-section and they could monitor them from the NICU as opposed to having them stay in the womb. We were trying to get to 34 weeks, but she started having some contractions and then they brought her in at 32.
Mm, that's early.
Two of them were born around 4 pounds and Ren was born just under 3 pounds.
Oh, baby.
Little tiny
peanut. They were little, yeah. Little, but they were. They
but
were
little fighters. Friends. I mean, they did so good in the NICU. They, all three of them came home on the same day. They were 23 days in the NICU. Mm-hmm.
We got that tattooed on us, 23. It's kind mm-hmm. of, they were born on the 23rd. There's two of us, three of them. So it's kind of just become our little
family number.
That's so sweet. Oh my God, I love that. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So amazing. And now they are how old?
They're five.
5 years old. You're in it. You are in it.
And trying to kill us on the daily. They're just like,
you know,
taking everything out of us that they can. But
yeah, three of them. I had one at a time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that killed me. So
it's, yeah.
Have you done like DNA? Do you know like who's, you don't have to tell me, but like, do you know who's embryo? And
we do. Yeah. And we're not super public about it just because we never want them to feel like you're both, you're all our mm-hmm. kids, and it like doesn't matter yeah. where you or how you they'll yeah. know, of course, but like, yeah,
I do think it's sweet. I feel like to us it feels pretty obvious, but right. A lot of people get it wrong, and I think that's kind of sweet. I like it.
Yeah, that happens for us too.
Really? Yeah.
People are always telling me and my daughter that we look so much alike. And oh my God, if you're, she's not the spitting image of you, and we love it, you know, like, cause it's like our special thing that we have. Yeah. Yeah. So it's cute.
And then they all look like triplets still. Cause it like, they literally all have the same eyes. They didn't get either of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They got egg donor eyes.
This is something that comes up a lot. Like, how do you talk to the kids about their origin story? And like, what's your favorite ways of doing it? You know, like I use a lot of books and I still bring the books out. We bring the books out all the time and discuss it. But what is yours like at home?
I mean, we just on the regular talk about, I mean, books for sure. Right. That's definitely a pillar of how we communicate it to them. But
mm-hmm. we're really big on sharing, you know, just, we've always said families come in lots of different shapes and sizes. And we have, you know, we have friends that are single parents. We have friends that are raising their grandkids. We have, you know, lesbian parents, gay parents. And I think just exposing them to that, to where it feels normal, it hasn't really become an issue yet. They're yeah. starting kindergarten soon. I think that's always scarier. Like we have three kids, but they're all our first kids. So we'll kind of navigate that as we go. But for them, we always want it to be part of their story. So we talk about the incredible women that helped get them here. We made little chat books. I don't know if you've heard of chat books, mm-hmm. but like little photo albums of like the surrogacy journey and all that. Mm-hmm. And they love to look through, and they know our surrogate Heather. And they're like, when we were in Heather's tummy. And so it's just always been a part of their vocabulary.
Yeah,
I think as it gets more age appropriate, then we'll be able to include and explain more details based on what they can comprehend. But mm-hmm. we just always want it to feel like this is your story and it's special and it's normal.
Just like everyone's, right? Because everyone's story is unique and special. So
that's amazing. I love it. And y'all are doing it all right. And you're amazing daddies. And like, I love your story. And, you know, your kids are going to be great. because they're being raised by dads who get it and who are open and honest and loving and all the things. So I just wish the whole world would listen to our stories so they could hear like how much goes into not only the journey to become parents, but the parenting as well. Like we put so much, I mean, everybody, I know all parents do, and queer parents have extra layers that we have to navigate with our kids to make sure that they feel safe and loved and don't feel othered and never feel the shame of any internalized homophobia or anything like that. So we put a lot of work into working on ourselves and parenting our kids so that they can go out into the world and be proud of their family.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways we're breaking cycles that, you know, we had to go through like a lot of work, inner work, so that you're not projecting. And I mean, because we all experience like so much guilt and shame for who we were, and we don't want to pass that along.
It's a thing that we learn, and then our children see it, and then they build the muscle themselves too. And that's the cutest thing when they start outing you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, like my daughter one time was like, this older woman said, "Oh, look, she just has the same face as you. What adorable, blah, blah, blah." She was like 5 or 6. And she goes, "That's so funny because she didn't born me."
Oh, it's so
that is cute.
It is so cute. Little things they say like that.
But the kids start flexing that muscle too. And then it's really cool to see your kids be little advocates as they grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, gay, whatever.
I can't remember. I think it was Willow, right? Got asked like if she had like her dad
said something about her mom. And she was like, I don't have a mommy. I don't have a mommy.
I have two dads and I'm lucky or something.
Yeah, she did say it.
Get it, Willow. It's amazing. They're gonna teach the kids a lot that they encounter, and it's a beautiful blessing. It's mwah, I love it. So, what a great story, you two. Thank you for joining. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for doing what you do on social media, and showing up and being the representation that we all need. It's not always easy, and people are not always nice. I know this because it happens to me, and I don't have as big a following as you two. So I'm sure it's not always easy and sometimes scary, but so I just want to say thank you for showing up.
No, thank you. We appreciate you and all you're doing. And I feel like the more, you know, that we collectively are a voice for our children and the community. And I think that that's where the real differences or the, you know, people start changing their perspectives and their minds. So
yeah, changing hearts and minds one post at a time and one episode at a time. Tell everybody where everyone can find you. If you're not following them yet, get on it because they're the cutest.
Oh, you can follow us on all of our channels. We are at Daddies to Three.
All spelled out.
Mm-hmm. Daddies to Three.
Share the ups and downs and crazy life of raising triplets and growing up Mormon and doing our best every day. So we love the community that we've built, and we're grateful for opportunities like this because I feel like human stories and really getting to know people on that human level is really what changes hearts. So thank you for what you're doing, Jamie.
Oh, thank you. God, this is just a love fest. Happy Pride, y'all. Thanks for being on the
Pride. Yes. Oh, happy Pride.
Pride extravaganza.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you to our sponsor of this here episode, California Cryo Bank. Don't forget to use code QueerFam26 to get that free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them. Let's do this.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. and I'll see you next time. Mwah.